Hey there, Star Wars Rebels fans. It's time for one last lesson. Welcome back to the AfterBuzz Star Wars Rebels After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about the final episodes of the series. Guys, we've got a full house for you, some special guests, and some familiar faces. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Yeah!
Yes! Doing a wall of sound.
Yes.
Well, everyone who's listening to this on headphones just took them off and threw them across the room.
Sorry, guys.
No, they didn't. They're just as excited.
A well of emotions inside of us tonight as we talk about the finale of Star Wars Rebels. Tonight we are covering A Fool's Hope and Family Reunion and Farewell. Let's not waste any time because we are late getting going. Let me introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Joelle Monique.
Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at BlackGirlNerds.com.
To her left, Emma Fife.
What's up, guys?
Back in the house.
Really nice to be here. I'm at Emma Fife, everywhere Emma Fife's are sold.
To her left, Dylan Chance.
Awesome, hi, guys. It's me, Dylan Chance. You can find me on Twitter at Dylan Chance.
To his left, Kenny
Collins. Alright.
Hi, all my buddies. Slide. You can follow me all over the social medias at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. To my left, the person who's bringing us home tonight.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at the Mango. Da-da-da-da-da. Whatever. We've got some very special guests joining us tonight. Guys, we have three fantastic guests joining us on the couch. Taylor Gray.
Woo!
Yay!
Thank you, guys.
Steve Bloom.
Carabest.
And for the first time here at AfterBuzz Studios, Mary Elizabeth McLean.
You're all rebel scum.
Oh. Yay! Yay! Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course. I'm so happy that you guys could join us here for the finale. Now, we know that people watching on the West Coast feed right now, we know that we're airing in the middle of the show right now. So if you guys have not watched yet, please, for the love of God, pause this, go watch the show, and then come back because we are delving into spoiler territory.
Spoiler alert!
For sure.
Please.
Like a usual after show.
For sure. But
must be Tuesday.
But again, because it's airing on the West Coast right now, we want to be considerate to everybody who might be in the middle of watching it right now.
Yes.
So, guys, if you guys have any questions for our fantastic guests, please use the hashtag ABTVRebels per usual. All right, guys.
Chat's going insane by that. They're very happy to see everyone.
Yeah.
You guys got as much screaming as the couch.
Of course.
So much love.
But yeah, guys, let's go ahead and start with Joelle and we'll move down around initial thoughts for this finale because yeah, this is it. This is the end.
My ship did not come home, and in fact, it got the longest tease ever. They're like, you will wait an entire new series for this ship to come home.
Your ship
it's
is
fine.
Lost at sea.
We'll wait. We will wait. It's fine. We love you, Star Wars. Lothwul's remain the coolest thing in the history of Star Wars. They're just awesome.
Your ship is lost at sea.
I was going to say, I'm curious, what is your ship?
I was going to ask that.
Oh, yeah. Come on. It's got to be obvious.
Because I feel like Zeb and Callus, they got...
Their love was affirmed.
I was going to say, a lot of ship happens.
I want to ask...
All kinds of ship.
Hashtag ABTV. I want to ask about that, what you thought about that.
Well, let's continue with the thoughts here. We'll get back to that.
Yeah, I just wanted to meet an Ezra, kiss, a handheld, something, but it's fine.
They had a really good moment of eye contact.
They
really
did. I felt the sexual tension there.
That's all it takes.
Places I didn't see the sexual tension. What? We have a baby now. When did that happen?
Right.
That's what I want to know.
Sometimes you don't have to say, I love you.
Exactly.
To get it on.
Now, guys, we do want to keep this show family friendly, Joelle.
Sorry, that's my bad. I'm sorry.
I mean,
The Force works in mysterious ways.
The Force works in mysterious ways. But my theory is she was just already pregnant when all of this was going down. That kid looked like he was about the right age.
Okay, upon second viewing, when you watch, again, when you see Ezra talking to the hologram of his family and Hera comes up and he's talking, you can see her put her hand.
Oh!
It's not a low hand. It's a little high, but it's
right.
really fast.
It's
and
quick.
It could be read in.
Wow. You catch a lot of
it.
I read a lot of reviews. It's the guys on the internet that catch everything and they're just like,
see
oh.
That?
I don't know.
Have we ever seen inter-species
Children? No, we, not ri- not. I don't believe I don't, I've in never Star seen Wars that. Canon, at least portrayed on screen, that we've ever seen any cross-species yeah. children.
I was legit surprised day. That they were compatible.
Like, no. genetic viability.
Well, I mean, I'm let's get into the biology. Hondo and Melch come up with.
Yes. Now, that was a very tender moment.
Wasn't
I'm
that
so,
sweet?
I'm so happy God, we yes. got the emotional payoff for that.
I don't know. I think Thrawn and the Purgles will have lovely, lovely blue space whales everywhere.
There's a corner of the internet that's into tentacles, and we tend not to go there.
Yes. All what I was talking about.
Yes,
but
I know.
while we were rewatching the finale this evening, Katie, you actually brought up that Thrawn's sort of end here was very much foreshadowed at the end of last season.
The Bendu straight up told him, like, I foresee your defeat like a hundred arms and a cold embrace or something like that. Yeah. It was just like, ooh.
Oh my gosh, Chad is right. There was a clone who had a kid with a Twi'lek in the
clone. Oh,
yes! I totally forgot about that.
Bring it home, Chat.
Yeah, good
That's
job, Chat.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Way to go, Chat.
Chat does this. They're good things.
So, yeah, you guys have been working on the show for a couple years now. How does it feel now that all of the fans have finally gotten to see it come to an end and wrap up?
Well, you guys were on it a lot longer. I came in season 3. So
it's been a long process.
Yeah.
We've been doing it 5 years, I think. Is what
I think it's
is.
Almost 5 years yes,
yeah,
since we began.
Yeah, coming on 5 years, and it's...
We've grown up together.
Yeah, we really have. Yeah. No, this has been going on over 20% of my life.
I watched you go through puberty and everything. You become a man on our show.
I love it. It's been so fun. I think today, especially maybe more than any other days, really exposed me to a lot of the reception of this show. I think, at least for me, I guess I don't go on the internet enough. I didn't realize how many people watch the show or how many people are affected by the show or anything like that. And Tracy and everyone at Lucasfilm have been sending us like fan videos and reactions, things like that. And I didn't know that it was even happening. I'm an idiot, I feel like. But it kind of like wore on me, and I felt really verklempt. I didn't know. I didn't realize that the show was doing what it was doing. And it's been so fun to be a part of, because we're just in a booth. Like, there's like 10 people there. You know what I mean?
Well, it was interesting for me at the screening on Friday night. Because, I mean, I went to the season 2 finale screening also, and I guess I just wasn't as aware of it. The Q&A was very much just kind of like with Dave and Ashley that time. But this time around, you know, they had a lot of you guys up there doing the Q&A. And the amount of kids that were there. I guess... In my mind, I was like, I know this show is for kids, and it's perfectly child-friendly, and I'm sure there are kids who watch it, but the majority of the people I know who watch it are adults who are Star Wars fans and want to consume every piece of Star Wars canon. But it didn't change my perspective on the show at all, but it gave me a new appreciation for the show, seeing all of the families that enjoy this together.
And to know that this was the first, this is their first Star Wars. They had these two little boys dressed up as Luke Skywalker, and they were brothers, and you could just like, this is their Star Wars. That's got to feel amazing, you
it's
guys.
It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. Fun. Like, I know it's got to hit you. Like, seeing so many little kids dressed up as Ezra, you're like, there's like a different sense of responsibility. I'm like, ah, shoot, I wish we could go back and do something even better than how we had done it. But it's been so cool.
Yeah, I tell him shoot higher, go for Zeb.
I say the same thing.
Okay, but physically higher.
No, it's kind of it's weird too, because we do conventions all over the world, and we've seen these families dress up in the different characters. But to hear somebody in the audience that stood up last night, and we know that this is the gateway show for a lot of people for their first Star Wars experience. But to hear families talking about how they would sit together and they bond as a family over this show, and that's something they'll remember for the entire lifetime of these children, and for these parents and everybody else that they've exposed them to, and that's it goes far beyond even the reach that we've experienced.
And I think it's such an important sort of message within Star Wars Rebels as well, as this idea that it is about family, but it's about this found family. And I mean, they just really drive that point home when Ezra is, you know, being tempted by the Emperor, and he's showing him this vision of, you know, what could have been. It's like, oh, you can choose your parents and have everything that you deserve. You're a good person. You deserve to be raised by your mom and dad and have a nice life with them. And the fact that he rejects them essentially in favor of this new family that he's built, I got teared up trying to tell my roommate about the finale of Star Wars Rebels. So I'm doing great.
You can see just the development for Ezra over that, because season one and season two, Ezra would have gone.
Of course he would have.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And it transcends the show, too. I think on the cast, we all feel a sense of family just working together, because we did work together as a cast, and we have been together for so long. We've developed relationships. You know, he's my little brother now, whether he likes it or not.
I also feel that that moment was the moment you became a Jedi. Because the Jedi is all... No, when you chose... You didn't choose to be selfish. Because that's that's what Dave Filoni talks about. Is that's what the... You know, to use the Force for selfish reasons, you go to the dark side. Yeah. For selfless reasons, you are a Jedi. And I think that's the moment.
I think that's how you become whole as a Jedi.
And then
as a
person. Tore down the temple. Yeah. It was awesome. With glitching Palpatine. It was so
out of the rubble. That was just like, this is a horror movie. And I love it.
That's what I'm saying about like playing a Jedi. And Freddie could say anything, but all of us just having these scripts, like, it helps you with just becoming a person.
Yeah.
How do you become the best person possible? Well, just read The Path of a Jedi and try to follow that, and there you go.
Yeah.
And I've learned how to become a terrible human.
Well, you went out like a boss, though.
Let's talk about Price for a moment, because, you mentioned that you came in during season three, but Price has kind of always been, even at the start of the show, like, her name was sort of floating around. Right. We don't really know what to think of her. And when we first get introduced to her, the first thing she does on screen is demand that Thrawn be given to her, essentially, to help deal with this problem on Lothal. And at the very end, through all the ups and downs, we see her go through this, through the ringer, basically. We've seen her at her most powerful, at her most vulnerable, and then at the end of the day, she chooses to go down with the ship.
It's her only redeeming quality. Dave Filoni was always like, Mary, she has no redeeming qualities whatsoever. Thrawn has art, you have nothing. And I said, well, lust for power is one thing.
Yep.
Being mostly ineffective at killing the people that she's trying to kill. But the fact that she goes out with that honor, where she just say, I serve the Empire, and she stands on the bridge, and I thought that was amazing. That was the one redeeming thing for her, because she really has no redeeming qualities whatsoever.
Well, you know, we were talking before the show started. In the Thrawn novel, they do a whole backstory for Price, and it's really good. So if anybody's interested and wants to see more of the backstory of Price, or even Thrawn, you got to check out that Thrawn novel. I just finished the audiobook for it.
Woo!
I have it at the library. It's waiting for me to pick it up.
And there's a sequel coming out in July. It's called Thrawn Alliances. And so now I'm confused on how that's going to... Is it...
No body, no death.
Is it somewhere in between?
Well, I mean, I think that's another thing that I actually really enjoyed about how the series wrapped up, was that it wasn't all wrapped up in a perfect little bow.
Yeah.
It was incredibly satisfying. And it was interesting, you know, because Dave Filoni was talking a little in the Q&A about this idea that everyone was coming at this show going, well, everybody's got to die. That's the only way that it can possibly explain how it has not had a major impact on the original trilogy with these characters, and I thought they
we're all guilty of that
too. Oh, absolutely. 100%. But I think that it still manages to wrap up in a way where, I cried. There was a lot of emotional gravitas, but you didn't have to kill everybody to have that happen.
Yeah.
And the fact that Ezra is probably still alive somewhere out there.
And maybe, Zeb has found love.
I know. Yeah.
Space Javert didn't die.
We were
gobsmacked.
I will say that Callus is the character that surprised me the most that he did not get killed
off.
That's true.
Me too. We had no idea.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you, because Dave always keeps everything sort of under lock and key, so...
And you guys didn't hear about the monologue you were saying on Friday at the end.
We were not on the trust tree.
So you guys were watching it as the crowd was, like, experiencing this moment.
Well, Steve and I had seen it up... The weekend before.
With Dee Baker, we went up to the ranch and sat up there.
So we seated up there and just cried.
The one thing I will say, and that was what I was trying to say at the Q&A about being confused, because Dave was like, no, you know more than you think you know. And I was like, Dude, I don't know. But that monologue that I say where I go off, I knew that I went off. And that he was like, you're not dead, is what he told me long before.
Yeah.
And so I knew that, and I was like, okay, well, then how else does it end after that? Like, So I didn't know that the Calcium example, we didn't know there was going to be a kid, but I knew that I went out with Thrawn and the Purrgil, because that whole monologue that he then delivers on the hologram. But I was, I mean, we were all pretty confounded, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, we didn't know that.
Most was... She had a kid. I was like,
I know.
What?
Yeah, crazy. Still processing that.
Yeah.
we were talking outside, and now to go back and to know the weight of your lines, like when you say to Ahsoka.
Exactly.
Come find me.
Mary brought that up. I didn't even realize at the time that was.
And that's when you realize what a genius Dave is. Oh, it's like nothing was random, everything was planned.
Yeah, speaking of Ahsoka, like one of the things we were theorizing was how much of a role Ahsoka was going to play in the finale, and then we're surprised that she really didn't come in until that very end. But at the same time, that was the perfect amount for her.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
we really didn't need her for that final fight, and I think we were better off without.
Yeah, and Ashley had no idea.
Well, and it expands Ahsoka's story so much.
Right. Yeah. I don't think she hadn't.
She's probably
it.
Seeing it.
Right.
Yeah. Four or five minutes.
Nobody DM Ashley right now.
That clock's a little fast, by the way.
It's quarter to ten. Yeah. Give it 15 minutes.
She's about to bring back hashtag Ahsoka Lives.
Yeah. this time, like with an exclamation.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I have a button that says Ahsoka Lives. Yeah. Whiteout or blackout the parts.
For real.
Exclamation.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
There's just so much in this show that got paid off. Like, very much, I love the way Dave Filoni was talking about how important nature was in this series. And we really do get that paid off here in this finale with the Lothwolves and with the Purrgil. It's like one of the things that's so interesting about this conflict as it comes to a head is that, you know, Thrawn is using all of the tools the Empire has at its disposal. And in a lot of ways, you can look at that as very much the Force being out of balance because of the dark side. And to see, like, sort of nature rise up against that to sort of bring order back to this planet is just such a cool thing.
It's also only one of the only ways they could have ever beat Thrawn is to pull something that he could never see coming, because he's such a brilliant master tactician that they had to do something that he would have never even been able to think of in a million years, and that was it.
Space whales.
That's my favorite thing about the Force. I loved Bendu so much.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Because he starts having tangible characters that represent what the Force is, the wolves. Like, I think that's the coolest thing about the Force, because anyone can tap into that as well. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's bigger than a single person when you have, like, a Jedi or a Sith Lord, which to me is cool because that's, like, some inclusion of everything in the world. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I've always thought that was so cool.
Well, and I think with these sort of natural representations of the Force, too, you are looking at a situation wherein it kind of goes along the lines of what Dave Filoni was saying, where the Jedi... you're just kind of one with the Force. You just kind of go with it. And the Sith try to bend the Force to their own will and use it to their advantage.
Yeah.
And so having the Force represented by actual physical nature is so much of... it's so symbolic of that acceptance of, okay, well, these are things that I can't change and they have to be this way. And I'm just going to go with it and that's going to carry me through.
Which is a statement about that nature is a selfless... entity.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of an amazing thing.
Well, and you saw how the Lothwolves reacted when he would hesitate
or
feel the fear, and they changed. They changed accordingly.
So. You're not ready, and they go away.
Yeah.
So let's all fall in love with nature.
Go outside, kids.
Be one with the Force.
Well,
get off the couch.
Druid.
Yeah. One of the coolest things about this as a finale is that it brings back a lot of the players that we've seen throughout the series, and everybody sort of had a chance to shine. You know, we get Hondo back, we get Quetzalano back, we get the
How
three
great
clones.
Was Jim
Caviezel?
Oh my god. Amazing.
So I wanted to ask, did you guys have a particular highlight for all of these sort of side characters? Did you guys have a favorite moment of I loved it when Hondo had his moment there?
Gregor.
I got really upset when Gregor got killed off.
Dee Baker. Yeah. To play all of those characters with the same voice and so distinctly different.
Yeah.
Was just genius. And yeah, that was moving.
Yeah, that hit me really hard when Gregor went down.
I was going to go a different way with it. I liked when he threw...
oh, yeah. Melt up in the air.
Oh, yeah.
They can fly.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I like seeing... I feel like this whole series we've had Zeb trying to kind of hold himself back in, because, you know, he comes from a warring, like, family and background, and that's, like, all he's ever known. And so to see him kind of get unleashed in an actual war here, it's not just a fight. He knows, like, this is it's the fight. And when he goes into, like, I don't know what we're calling it, like,
I guess battle mode?
Pit thing.
Rage? when Zeb starts to rage.
Yeah, when he's like, you know what? Yeah. Yeah. I'm doing it. Like, I'm going to be the one that jumps in and almost dies. Yeah. I was scared the whole time because I was like, we can't kill Zeb. Like, I've grown attached.
Yeah.
I was scared too. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know how that was going to end up.
Same here. I was, because those were the things we didn't know. I was like, oh no.
I'm pretty sure I turned to Steven. I went, no.
Yeah. Oh, this is it. Oh, that's how I go. That's a little anticlimactic after everything he's been through.
So. He made it out. Rook, not so much.
I was so sure that Zeb was going down there.
I was too.
But he got out, and he got a fantastic one-liner.
Boy,
after
did he
it
ever.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Cat Rook's calm. And the whole thing with Zeb and Kallus ending up at Lyrisson is something I've been joking about for 3 years.
At conventions. Yeah.
And every time, every panel, somebody says, almost invariably at every panel, they said, what would you like to see happen for Zeb later on in the series as it develops? And I said, well, I'd like for him and Hot Kallus to end up on Lyrisson and start a family. And I'm sitting in the screening watching this for the first time up at Skywalker.
You must have been dying.
Started crying. It was amazing.
Santa granted me my wish. Oh my God. And Dave, of course, goes, no, Steve, it's not about that. It's about forgiveness. And he's going back to the planet and they accept him.
No,
as one.
I said,
okay.
I ship that so
not
hard.
In our fan fiction headcanons. Yeah. It's not.
Yeah, not for me either.
We have forgiven
I'm already her. Imagining their children. We don't know. Zeb might be pregnant by now. Who knows?
Who knows?
And there goes the internet.
Right? What?
A fanfic will come out soon.
We have forgiven your attempted genocide because it was only an attempted genocide. If you'd succeeded, there would have been a different story.
Well, there's a lot in this show about the power of forgiveness and redemption.
Yeah,
and even characters like Ketsu Anyo, who, you know, for a long time were just out for themselves. You know, at the at the end here, when she gets asked, hey, do you have any ideas about, like, how we can get through this? And she's like, yeah, but don't worry, I'm going to stay here. Like, she's already been able to figure out several exit strategies from this terrible situation she's found herself in. But she's like, you know what? This is a cause worth fighting for. I owe you guys a solid.
Hondo evolves, too, when he was like, I would die for that boy. I was like, really? This is amazing.
Well, and just last week I was talking about, I didn't think Hondo would come back because whenever Hondo's in an episode, it's a Hondo episode.
Yeah.
That was not the case here, and I was impressed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Old age has changed him.
Yeah.
His love for Melch is
That was a really cute scene when it turned out that Melch wasn't dead. I also was really sad when I thought Melch was dead. Like, Hondo's little, like, Ugnaught, like, buddy who runs around with him, and I suddenly feel very emotionally attached.
Well, and then we have the Disney death juxtaposed with the actual death.
Yeah.
I was sad, too, that, that Rex wasn't... Because Rex was with Visago and June Sato's...
Oh, Wolf. Wolf was with
Visago with them. Okay.
And Mart.
Yes. But the Gregor death was really sad.
Yeah. It was. But such an honorable way to go.
I know.
People got honorable deaths.
Yeah.
Except for Rook.
Yeah.
And Rex lives to fight in the Battle of Endor, and that's awesome. That's so cool.
I like that was the one moment the whole theater erupted, and they were like, and he fought at Endor. Oh my God.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite bits, just watching these episodes with a live audience, was, hey, you've got your wolf pack back, and just to hear that resonate throughout the audience.
Look at him fight!
That's so great. And brutal, too, is
that wolf scene was
and
just
the music.
Like,
oh,
it's happening. I thought there was a velociraptor moment with when the two wolves had the door. Oh, don't make a wish, you know.
Just the reveal of them with their eyes.
Yeah.
Well, that was I noticed that the only way that the wolves killed anyone on screen was throwing them off the edge. Like, yeah. Wow, this could have been so much more violent.
They don't have a bloodlust. They're here on a mission.
They're going to eat them later.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. You can't really see the internal bleeding. Yeah. So, there could have been a lot more going on.
They have a crunchy outer and a gooey inner. Exactly. We're just saving it for later.
Katie, no. There were a couple moments where I was gritting my teeth where I'm like, are they allowed to show what they're showing?
Yeah. And I thought it sounded like bones crunching, but it's actually the stormtrooper armor. It's like, just okay, plastic, so tooth on fang on stormtrooper armor wouldn't make that sound as opposed to their bones.
Same feel on the face.
I was streaming at work crunchy and someone walked by and they were like, is that Star Wars? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, is that on Disney? And I'm like, yeah.
Okay. Is that rated Y7?
Yeah. It sure is.
Are those people dying? Yeah, they probably. Yeah.
It's just not the fall that toys.
Gets you. Yeah. It's not the fall that gets you. It's the stop at the end.
Yeah. This as a finale and how emotionally cathartic I think it was, it still had a lot of emotional weight to it. Like, a lot of stormtroopers died in that dome plan. They literally eradicated every member of the Empire on the planet.
Except that one warehouse where all of Lothal came up and said, you're out, you know, and they sort of come. And I was sort of like, how come those guys didn't take the order and go back. Yeah. You awful stormtroopers.
Yeah. Why didn't you go down with the ship with the rest of us?
Die with honor.
Yeah. One third of all my characters that I've ever played died
just
all at once.
Honor.
One silent scream. Yeah.
Every third darkness. Stormtrooper.
Yeah.
And we were definitely watching it going, okay, so is this the Steve Bloom Stormtrooper, or is this someone who's like gonna have a name and gonna be, oh, that's a Bloom Stormtrooper. He did.
It was as if many Steve Blooms cried out in pain and then fell silent.
Yeah.
20,000 bloopers. I just made that up.
What were their names, Steve? What were their names?
They're all bloopers.
So, we are getting close to sort of the end here. Go ahead.
Oh, I wasn't gonna say anything.
We're just crying. That's all.
Yeah. Do you guys have any sort of final thoughts before, like? I know it's hard to sum up all three of these episodes sort of in one go, but is there anything in particular you want to tell the fans? Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, the fans are freaking out at the fact that Dave was Chopper. I forgot to mention
the biggest revelation of the show.
You know, he actually told a young girl.
We were there.
Yeah.
And she never said
anything.
She kept the secret.
She's been in a cell all
this time. Yeah. I love his left part out during
the bowels of Lucasfilm. Yeah.
Yes. The second she walked off the stage, somebody had her sign. No disclosure
places
agreement.
To be held prisoner, to be fair.
Yeah.
I loved his comment about, it was like I ruined Santa for her. Like, the magic was gone.
She was wise beyond her years. I think she knew.
Yeah.
She probably told her whole school.
No one believed it, though.
But they don't have any Wi-Fi there, so it was fine.
Yeah. But can we salute Dave's performance as
Chopper? Yes.
That's one of the most lovable characters.
And killer.
I agree.
The
most vicious killer.
The angry murder cat.
Actually, I think he also played the gunner that Price says fire. And so he said, Mary, you and I are the ones that killed Kanan. But we were the ones that killed Kanan. He played the gunner that pulled the trigger. I gave the order, he pulled the trigger.
Right. Wow.
They'll hate you, Mary.
I was going to say, that was generous of him to, you know, to take the fall with you.
Yeah. He's like that. He's very selfish. He believes in the power of the Force.
Right,
he's a Jedi. He's a Jedi.
I fully believe that, though. By his own description, he is a likable jerk.
I feel like he's a Bendu as well. He can be a total...
He's something more.
He's a purple.
Yeah,
he's got tentacles.
He's a purple.
He's a top maker. I'd love to just see the episode scripts now, because I know that the Chopper dialogue is actually written out.
It is.
And I want to see it.
Yeah. Oh, I have questions.
I want it in my life.
It's pretty awesome.
It's funny.
I'm sure it is, and I want it.
All of us took a shot at it.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
On the Blu-ray extras, maybe.
Yeah.
They should just have Dave, like, superimposed in the bottom, like, are you out of your mind? You know, every time Chopper says something, it's just put in Dave actually saying the lines.
That's hilarious.
If only he had the time.
That's true.
He needs to stand in for that.
Working a cowboy hat on top of Chopper.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually did a picture.
I think there's
like
a
picture.
Yeah, there's a picture.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I think we have a picture.
We have a picture. We did it at the ranch.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's fabulous.
That's cool. I need this.
Yeah.
Pretty that's amazing. Great.
So we are running a little short on time, I hate
to
say.
So final thoughts.
So, yeah, final thoughts on just the finale and the series as a whole.
Never give up hope. If the Force teaches you anything, it's look to be selfless and never give up hope. And if you don't have a family, a given family that supports you, go out and choose your own, because sometimes those relationships and those bonds can be just as strong, if not more, than you have with your birth family. For some reason, that doesn't happen. So never give up hope. There's always family to be found.
Dream the impossible.
Yeah, like you said, hope and also know that even under the most adverse conditions, that redemption and acceptance and forgiveness is always possible.
Yeah. We got asked this question on the night at the premiere, and I think they're the best answers we've all given, because it is kind of summing up what our experience has been with Star Wars. But hope, you kind of have to always mention in the same sentence as Star Wars, because that's the big thing you take away from it. It's the thing that gives you chills, that hope is one of the greatest feelings in the world that we all kind of hold on to every day, going to sleep at night. We have hope for something great the next day, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Selflessness, that's a huge thing to take from this show, the family aspect. But I also just want to say thanks to the fans, to everyone involved, everyone that watched, everyone that talks about it, everyone that like has welcomed us in. I don't know if I've given those thanks enough, and I mean that's what's made this experience so surreal, and being a part of a family that is that enormous and large and goes overseas, and that is all part of the same family that we've, I think, been accepted into. And I think that's been the coolest thing.
And that starts from the very top, too, from Kathleen Kennedy and Dave and everybody at Lucasfilm and Disney. They have included us in the process in a way that you don't see in cartoons.
Yeah.
We get to go to the studio. We get to meet the people behind the scenes, the writers and the musicians and the artists, the artistry behind this. We see every element of that, and we know them by name. We know these people by name. And they included us as family. And so... Yeah. We have our own little family as the cast that's a little extension of that, and the fans are another extension beyond that. We're all connected by this show in a way that will live on for generations to come. It's unlike anything.
It
binds
us together.
Yeah, it does. but it really does, and that and those words ring truer now for me than than
for
ever.
Sure. It's a community. You go, people come together global. Just to talk about it. Oh, going off over to like London, you see it, and then people... Yeah. Who don't know each other at all just come together over the thing that they like Star Wars, and they talk about this, and then it's amazing. You have a whole budding new relationship there, and it's crazy, and it's so cool.
And it crosses languages too. You can go anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
I think one of the most moving things for me was at the Q&A. Half the people didn't even have questions who stood up to speak. They just said thank you.
Yeah.
And it was sort of similar when we actually called out for questions as well, and most of the responses were, we're not ready to say goodbye yet.
Yeah.
So I guess the biggest thing is just thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we're just
thank
sitting you. In the gratitude.
for sure. Dylan, you were the one that started this panel. You're sort of the reason why we're all here.
It's your fault.
Yeah.
Thanks, too.
Do you have anything you want to say?
Yes. I knew this was going to be good from the first time I heard about it, because I knew Dave was behind it, and I loved the Clone Wars so much, and I loved all the characters he came up with. So I just knew. I just knew it was going to be good. I know in the beginning people were worried about it. They thought, oh, is this too kiddie? Oh, this animation is different. But I knew it. I was like, just give it time. It's Star Wars. It's going to come together. And it did. And it was fantastic, and I love it. It's a great addition to the whole Star Wars universe. I'm so happy that I found people to talk about it with me, because I just nerd out all the time, and I don't have a lot of people to talk to. You know, I got some people together, and then, you know, Emma took over for me when I had to leave, and I'm so happy, like, I got to pass the torch on to just, and they ran with it, and they carried it, and then even when she left, they all took over. It's been great. The show's been great, so thanks to everyone. Seeing it through. Seeing when I started through, thank you so much. I'm glad I could be here for the last episode. And thanks to all the fans that stick around. I see some fans that were here from episode one, and that's awesome.
Wow.
Like, I mean, so that's so cool. Yeah, it's great, and now I can't wait for the Thrawn Ezra buddy adventure.
It's gonna be fun. I don't want to let Ezra go.
Featuring Sabine and Ahsoka. Also.
Yeah, well, they're coming to rescue them while Thrawn and Ezra explore the unknown regions of space.
Exactly. It's gonna be a buddy road trip show.
Yeah.
Kind of a shift in tone to a more comedic sort of thing instead of action adventure. It's gonna be great.
Then they're gonna play good cop bad cop.
I love it.
Crossover.
Yes. That sitcom. I need it.
Yeah.
The odd couple.
Cooking. Yep.
It was an incredibly satisfying ending, and I feel like Star Wars Rebels contributed so many really significant and interesting things to the Star Wars canon, but ultimately the strength of the show lies in the strength of the characters. It was a show about family, and that's something that you can relate to whether you're super into Star Wars or just kind of casually into Star Wars. It's just a well-made series.
Yeah.
Quickly. Definitely started as someone who's casually into Star Wars. Like, it shapes people's lives growing up, and I've had experiences with that, but I've never been like ride or die Star Wars. And then I was asked to join this panel because we were down a person and we needed someone in the middle of season one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, yeah, sure, this sounds like fun. And I started watching it with Megan, and I was like, oh my god, this feels like Star Wars. This is, oh, I am in. Oh my god, what is this robot? Did he just kill a man? This is great. Sign me.
The first of many.
This is the first time I have been ride or die for a Star Wars franchise. And I'm in. This has been wonderful.
I did not know that about
that's
you.
Awesome.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You seem like you're pretty into it.
Yeah,
thanks
it's
to Rebels.
It's a thing I've been into, but I've never been in it to win it until Rebels.
Sweet.
I feel like Taylor told us first time he was here that before this he'd like seen Phantom Menace on TV once. And
That's not true.
Joelle, you were going to.
Yeah, I came in as a Clone Wars stan. So many of the trilogies and arcs changed my life, and it was really. Like, as a kid who was excited for episode one and then crushed my whole soul, like, Clone Wars made those movies palatable because you were like, but all of these dope things happen in between those things. And now, like, I can watch the scenes. So it was really cool to go to Rogue One and be, like, pumped to hear about this crew, like, in that movie. It was a complete reversal of what got me into the series in the first place. And I think that's what Star Wars is capable of now that it's, like, a multi-platform, completely accessible, like... franchise. Like, there's just so much Star Wars to consume, and Rebels has been such an enjoyable part of it. It got back to, like, the kid in you that loved Star Wars.
Yeah.
And for Dave to turn it on his head like that at the end and say, you know what, I'm not going to kill all these people. I remember why we liked the originals, and it's because at the end we had this glowy, happy ending with dancing teddy bears. I'm going to give you a similar feeling, but with a kid. Like, it was amazing, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you, guys. You made the show fun and amazing to listen to, and we got to grow with you for 5 years, and I just appreciate getting to be a part of this whole ride. So thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody in this room.
We need your story.
And even Kristen, who's not here.
Right,
like the whole
Kristen.
Reason I did this panel was because Dylan and Kristen believed in this show. And I am so happy I went on this journey with them because I always loved Star Wars, but as far as the expanded universe stuff, I was never super familiar with it. So I was like, guys, am I gonna get like nerd checked if I decide to hop on this panel? And Dylan was like, no, we're just here to have fun and talk about how awesome Star Wars is. And I grew to love it even more, and I'm so happy that I got to spend, you know, four seasons sitting and talking about this show and getting to talk to you guys about it. It's been an absolute treat. So I want to say thank you, Dylan, for insisting that I be a part of your panel. Thank you, Kristen, who could not be here tonight, for also insisting that I be a part of this panel. And thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
Special thanks to Tracy and Chrissy as well, who did a lot of work in event planning and coordinating. They are miracle workers.
They're behind the scenes, and they are the heartbeat.
Yeah. I don't know if they ever sleep or how they, If
they do, it must be like a microsecond.
Yeah.
They're like, boom, amazing. I'm back.
And the nicest we love them. Yep.
Sadly, we are out of time. Yes. Where can fans go if they want to find you guys and keep up with all of your upcoming projects?
I'm on Twitter at Mary E. McGlynn. And I think I have an Instagram page that I'm very lax about, which I'll try and get better. But actually, we're going to be in Kansas next week.
Oh, great. Yeah,
NakaCon.
At NakaCon. Awesome. So if you're in town, come say hi, and we can talk all things Star Wars. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All things.
Yes, and I'm on Twitter at Bloomspew. It's my last name, Bloomspew. And then also, I just started a voiceover teaching website.
I've been seeing that.
At bloomvoxstudios.com. So it's my last name, the word Vox, V-O-X, studios.com. And we just started our first webinar class last week, and we have a second coming tomorrow night.
That's awesome.
I'm going to just jump on and say, check it out. Yeah. I haven't seen any of it, but I've seen this guy work for 5 years. Run. If you want to do anything voiceover, run to that class.
Yeah. I have no idea what I'm doing. I try to communicate
that. Secret to
It's got to be great.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. And where can they find you?
Oh, well, right here.
He lives in the studio now.
I have a Twitter. It's I'm Taylor Gray, and I have an Instagram that is Taylor Gray 3. And and we're around. We're out and about.
Do you guys know when you're gonna play Edge of the Empire again? With Sam?
We're doing that soon.
Yeah, we were supposed to do it next weekend, but we can't, so it looks like it's the 21st.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's so fun, and we're going to keep doing that, which is cool.
Yeah, definitely.
D&D, baby.
Yeah, so you're still getting Star Wars content from these guys, just in the form of a Star Wars role-playing game.
Yeah.
Guys, as we all know, the end of one story is the start of something new.
Every new beginning
comes from some other beginning's end.
Okay. Exactly. Aww. Some wise person once said that.
I think it was a one-hit wonder in the 90s.
Really quick, we do also want to give a quick shout-out, iTunes-wise, to a couple people who commented, because we love giving out iTunes shout outs to everybody who's gone to rate and subscribe. You guys are the reasons why, like, the lights stayed on here and we got to hang out at this cool table. So go ahead.
I've got them. We have I'm gonna miss this podcast.
Aww.
From Horses219. I listened to the Ruby Rooster Teeth Voltron after shows and was really excited to see the Rebel show. Started listening a couple months ago, caught up for the final season. Love listening, so excited for Star Wars, and I learned awesome trivia. I'll miss this cast so much after season 4 is over. And we have thank you, ladies of the AfterBuzz Rebellion, for Prodigal 358.
And Dylan.
Thank you all for doing this podcast. You made me tear up with laughter, ponder deep questions, gasp at the superb writing, and weep for those who have become one with the Force.
Aww.
I am changed in many ways. I look forward to listening to your future work. Thank you again. May the Force be with you.
Aww. Aww. May the Force be with you.
What a nice way to end.
All right. And on that note, we are way over time for you guys. Yes. I'm so sorry.
Group hug to the chat.
Yay.
Group hug. They've been asking.
Yeah, they do.
Katie, where can people go if they want to find you?
You can follow me all over the social medias, as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you want more shows that I'm on here, I am on the Rooster Teeth Review show on Wednesdays and the Voltron After show on Mondays. Animation all the time.
Hey guys, I'm Dylan Chance. You can find me on Twitter at Dylan Chance. I'll talk to you about anything Star Wars. I'm currently working my way through all of the canon audiobooks, the new canon.
Dang.
And they're so much fun. So if anyone wants to chat, you can. I'm also the technical director for Machinima Studios, so you can catch me on our Twitch live stream chats. You know, just TD and everything while our shows go live. It's fine. Whatever.
I'm at Emma Fife. I can be found all over the internet at my name, Emma Fife. If you guys like Star Wars, I assume you do, you should totally watch Pencils and Parsecs. It's the Star Wars RPG show that I do over at HyperRPG. That's twitch.tv/HyperRPG Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock p.m. Pacific. We are premiering season 3 this Wednesday night.
Woo!
So
should
be real fun.
Hey guys, I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique. Every week at blackgirlnerds.com. Here doing Atlanta on Thursdays, Black Lightning on Wednesdays, and The Magicians on Wednesday. We have a musical episode coming up, and you know we're about to geek out. Also, Monday, March 12th, I'll be on Heroes over at Collider, so check it out.
And I'm Megan Salinas.
Oh, yay!
Happy birthday!
Thanks!
And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at The Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I. And I do a bunch of stuff. Just follow me there. Again, thank you so much Thank you so much to everybody in the hashtag, everybody in the live chat, everybody who commented on iTunes all across these seasons. And thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody at LucasArts and Disney for making this show possible.
May the Force be with
you. May the Force be with you all. We will see you all in the future, I guess. Bye, everyone.
See you guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The force be with you always.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.